This podcast is being brought to you by Stellar Blu Technologies, the official website developer and multimedia company for the Mile of Music. Please check us out at stellarbluetechnologies.com. The Mile of Music, especially Mile 7, offers 1 mile of free musical performances with over 200 artists, as well as over 900 shows throughout the 4 days of the event. This is a must-attend annual event in the Fox Cities, and it's growing every year. We've had over 80,000 in attendance in 2018, and it's getting bigger every year. I'd like to introduce you guys to Mike Wheeler. Mike has agreed to come in and sit down for an interview, so we do appreciate it, Mike. Welcome to the Mile.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Yeah, it was a pleasure to have you here. Hey, just wanted to ask you a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. Just kind of share with you, you know, what you want to talk to your fans about and what they'd like to know. So, you know, what drew you to the music industry first?
What drew me to the music industry?
Or when did you realize you were interested in music? Let's put it that way.
I think I first realized I was interested in music, maybe performing, when I saw my Uncle Bob and John playing guitars at a family gathering. I was probably 6 years old, and they were out there picking by the pool, and I just thought that was the coolest thing. And
oh, very good.
Yeah, they kind of got me intrigued.
Got you hooked.
Yeah.
So would you say that was the moment when you realized music was really something that would be something you'd want to strive for and work on, or is it just the first?
That's definitely
the first exposure.
That's definitely one of the earliest memories I have where I really felt kind of drawn to it.
Cool.
Other than kind of listening to Roy Orbison and some of the early good rock and roll on my mom's speakers. Growing up, she had a nice pair of speakers, and I can't say my mom had a nice pair of anything. Redo. Yeah, she had a nice
sound system, huh? A really cool sound system, yeah. Okay, cool.
She had some good speakers, and I remember playing air guitar to Roy Orbison's Oobie Doobie as a little kid, laying there on my back on the carpet and jamming along. So I guess it was kind of, it was always somewhere in there knocking around.
Got it. So
there to play.
So since you were about 6 years old, this is something that is definitely something you've been interested in.
Probably somewhere in that ballpark.
So when did you have your first band? I mean, you talked earlier about your first band in high school, so I'm just... Or your band in high school. I was wondering, when did you start your first band?
Started a band when I was 17, I think the summer after my junior year, with a few buddies. And we were lucky enough to have a rock ensemble class, like an elective.
Oh, very cool.
And we had block schedules, so we had a little over an hour every day where we kind of had a permanent setup down in the basement, too, in this one building, and our teacher was a new music teacher that year, kind of a young, hip guy, and he really got us going on how to practice riffs and turn a riff into a song, and so pretty quickly we were writing our own material and rehearsing it pretty thoroughly. How to rehearse effectively and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and we kept that band together all the way through college and a little beyond college as well, and ended up touring the Northeast and all the way out to Ohio and Pennsylvania. And so it was a good way to get started. Kind of was pretty much all over from there. I think everyone in that band is still playing music professionally, and with the exception of maybe one of the guys who still does it on the side of his normal job. But,
Oh, cool. That's a good group. You know, your creative process, did that in school when you went through that and that program? How did that influence your creative process, and what does your creative process look like?
I think that definitely influenced the creative process as far as a group dynamic, which is definitely different than sitting down to write a song alone. It definitely opened me up to collaboration because we were kind of encouraged to work together as a group in that first band, and the other guitar player and I, we co-wrote all the material for the most part. He was a little bit more... had a broader musical vocabulary than I did, and I had a broader vocabulary than he did. So it kind of worked out where I would write the lyrics. He would fine-tune a lot of the more simple progressions I would come up with. I was lucky, too, starting out even in elementary and high school. I had one English teacher who kind of followed our class along from about sixth grade all the way through high school. So I had some pretty good mentors as far as the lyrical writing side of things as well. And I guess I learned plenty about the creative process of writing lyrics through some of the kind of extracurricular poetry and writing clubs that some of those teachers put together, and poetry journals, literary journals. But I think I was always aware that editing and fine-tuning were good things to focus on, and to never settle for a first draft unless you really strike gold once in a while, but usually there's something to go in and fine-tune. So all of that was kind of drilled in pretty early, and then stuff that I still use today.
Do you find there's a time when you just have to draw a line and say, I'm there? Because any more would be too much?
Yeah, I think that's easier. It's easier to do that in a co-write, because you kind of, there's usually this group consensus, and you kind of look each other in the eye and realize, oh, that's the word or the phrase we need right there, where there might be one missing. But other times, yeah, you'll go kind of searching to one-up a phrase, and it's not out there. You just kind of, and you can always rephrase it musically, sing a word differently. Or,
sure.
But, yeah, I think sometimes my old man likes to say, perfection is the enemy of progress.
Yeah. So it's almost to me like you start with the lyrics. You know, you start with the poetry and the story that you want to tell, and then put music to that. Is that right?
That's usually the majority of the time. I'd say that's the way I go about it.
Cool.
Lately, I've been kind of exploring writing a progression and just a chord progression, and then putting words to that, and to kind of switch it up. But.
Sure, keep it fresh and try something different. Yeah. I understand. So, you know, with that, because it's poetry and so on and so forth, are there any hidden meanings in the songs that you write, or, you know?
I definitely sneak some hidden meanings into songs once in a while. I used to be a lot more cryptic when I was younger with my writing. I think I would settle maybe more so lyrically early on for kind of early drafts, and we were really focused on the song craft and the riffs and the kind of fancy chords and arrangements. And I was kind of on my own in my first band to show up with the lyrics. And at some point, my bandmates and even other friends and family would be like, you know, what is that song about? Mm-hmm. And I would realize sometimes it was just so dense, there wasn't even a narrative going on. It was wordplay, and it was other just kind of,
just having fun with the vocabulary.
Yeah, adolescent nonsense.
Sure.
But stream of consciousness, or maybe there was some really cryptic meaning in there that I was trying to obscure for whatever reason. But so as I've gone forward, I've definitely learned to simplify and clarify, but also I like to kind of tuck in little hidden agendas once in a while, or meanings.
Sure. Well, I mean, you talked a little earlier about collaboration with, you know, your first band in high school. Do you collaborate now, because you're a solo artist these days, right?
Yeah. I do collaborate a lot, and I guess I always have, but over the past 4 years, I've been coming up to the songwriting festivals in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, Steelbridge Songfest, Dark Songs, and Love on Holiday, and that by default is a co-writing event.
Sure.
Putting groups of three and you write songs together. But as a result of that festival, I've met some great co-writing partners that have been kind of gone outside of those festivals and worked with. So written a whole album with a buddy that I met up there, John Viesda, and that's a side project that's on the slow back burner, but we did a good amount of recording of the material last summer. It's kind of on pause right now, but the songs are there. And in Nashville, there's a big co-writing culture there. It's really common.
Cool.
And yeah, so I always have fun with it. I think it's a great way to stumble onto some stuff you never would alone.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
I suppose it's good. It's kind of synergistic. You know, it motivates you, motivates them.
Yeah.
It gets you to think about things you hadn't thought about before, or doing things a little differently.
Right, all that. Everyone's got their strengths, too.
Sure.
Sometimes it's the musical phrasing that someone can bring to the table, and usually that's what I'm benefiting from. And maybe that person who's a real good technician musically isn't as studied or comfortable with the lyrical side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of put those two together, and everyone's got interesting stories to tell, too. So. Or they're from a different region where there's certain little details that are different. Like the first time I came up to Wisconsin for one of those it was Steel Bridge Songfest 4 summers ago, and one of the guys in the group, Jamie Clark, knew all the different little dive bars and country roots, and we were writing a Wisconsin drinking song. So all of that was just gold.
Place to write one.
Yeah.
You know, you got an album coming out this year. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? Share with your fans what to look for, when that's going to be released, how to find it.
It's been a long process, and I'm not totally sure when it's going to be released. It's about 95% done, and so yeah, it's getting really close. I'm hoping that it'll be out by early 2020 at the latest.
Okay.
But the guy that I've been working on it with is actually the dad of the guitar player in my first band. So they're both Rob.
Rob, very cool.
Rob Sr. is the one at the helm of the album, and I grew up with Junior. So Rob Sr. is always, Rob Eaton is his name, has always been a mentor to our band and kind of to us individually as musicians. And he heard what I had done. I recorded the first draft, I guess you could say, or the first version of this album in Kenosha, actually in Kenosha County, in Wilmot, in a little church with my buddy. And it was fun. My buddy Matt Spottle, who plays drums with Brent Newski, who I met both those guys up at Steel Bridge. Matt recorded it for me, played drums and bass, and brought the songs to life. And then Rob Sr. heard what we had done. His main gig right now as a musician is playing with Dark Star Orchestra, which is a Grateful Dead cover band.
Oh, very cool.
And he's the Bob Weir guy in that band.
Oh, wow.
And he's been doing that for about 20 years. But before that, he was working at the Power Station in New York City, which is kind of a fabled studio. He's one of the chief sound engineers there and has some Grammys on the shelf for the work he's done there. So
the right guy to partner with.
Yeah, so he heard what I had done, just kind of out of curiosity, you know, asked what I was up to, and I played him the tracks, and at first he offered to mix and master it, and then he got into the files, and he's like, and listening to the songs more, and he started hearing some production ideas, and eventually twisted my arm into treating that first version like pre-production, and said, you know, I really want to do this the professional way, not to say it wasn't.
Sure, but he wanted you to lay down some new tracks. And
he wanted to change some tempos and kind of stretch some of the songs out and kind of edit and shorten some, lengthen some. And so it's been a long process. And there's some medical setbacks with his partner during it, but when she was out of the woods, we got to get back to work. And so it's been 2.5 years since he got it and kind of started tweaking it. And before that, it had been, you know, close to a year that I'd already had the first version almost done. So it's been a few years coming. But it's getting close, and
Have you picked out a name for the album yet? Or?
I haven't picked out a name, no cover. But
we'll have to hear about it when you release it.
Sure, yeah,
for sure. Now, you know, you've been coming to the Mile for a while, as I understand. Is that right?
This is my second year.
Second year.
But I've been playing in Appleton for 3-4 years now.
3-4 years.
Been playing the Stone Arch and a bunch of other spots around town. So,
gotta ask you, what brought you back to the Mile for your second year?
I love Wisconsin. It's a great music culture up here. People are really friendly, and all the guys that put the festival on are just super hardworking, super passionate, enthusiastic, and you know they really care about all the bands. They're psyched to come out and watch, even though they're working like crazy. It's a special event and good people. I mean. Can't ask for much more.
Excellent. Well, Mike, thanks so much for coming in again. Really appreciate the opportunity to interview you and have you talk to the fans here. And again, this is from Stellar Blue Technologies. We're the official website and multimedia company for the Mile of Music. And wanted to thank Mike Wheeler for spending time with us. And thanks again.
Hey, thank you.